call me like the lottery. I have watched for you, dear Lord. Open up the gates, let my lover come true. Open up the gates, let my king come true. Can't you see the Lord I have made of my heart? These are spices of my devotion, spices of my love. These are fragrance, my love, fragrance of my desire. Open up the gates, let my lover come true. These are spices, Lord, spices of my heart. These are fragrance, Lord, fragrance of my longing. Open up your heart, let my lover come true. Open up the gates, let my lover come true. Open up your heart, let your lover come in. These are fragrance, Lord, fragrance of my life. This my fragrance, Lord, fragrance of my life. This my fragrance, Lord, yeah, fragrance of my life. These are spices, Lord, spices of my love. I open up my heart, love come in true. I open up my heart, love come in true. I open up my heart, love come in true. Open up the gate, lover, come in true. Lover, come in true. We sing, come in true. Oh, lover, come. Oh, come in true. Oh, lover, come in true. Sing again. Coming true, oh lover, coming true. Ta 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 ta. Do you mean it? Do you mean it? Luke chapter 10, verse 26. back up to 24. Now 25. Are you reading? And behold, a certain lawyer. Look at me. The law profession was one of the most... I want you to relax. You have to take your shoes off. This is a camp meeting. So the lawyers were one of the, how do I put, the learned people of society. Back then, we didn't have so much. The lawyers intersected between religious roles, governmental roles, political roles, right? So this is a learned man. How many times do you see the word lawyer referring to somebody? So a certain lawyer. So when you talk about a certain lawyer, you talk about somebody that is skilled, learned, especially in the law. And at that time, the religion and state was not separate. As much as the constitution of Nigeria derives from, of course, the laws of Moses, but this constitution of Nigeria is not totally a religious constitution, because we experience a measure of separation of church and state, right? Yeah. So, but in those days, the keepers of the law, they were the priesthood, they were the people in court. You can see sometimes the Pharisees judge, because they sit in the seat of Moses. So the law and the state, or religion and state, what I mean by state, governmental power, governmental administration, they were one. Do you understand? So this is a learned man. He stood up in a teaching session and tested him. He's saying, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" Go on. He said to him, "What is written in the law? How do you read it?" So the man goes forward. He said, "You shall love your Lord your God with all your heart, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." Go on. What does Jesus say? And he said, "You have answered rightly. Do this, and you will live." Go to Matthew 22 verse 26. I like the way Matthew puts it. See, just relax in the glory. Are you there? 36. Just scroll and tip. "Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?" That is the highest. Then what did Jesus say? Jesus said to him, "You shall do what? With what? With what? And with what?" You see, there is no law, no matter what you are keeping, if you are not keeping this one. This is what? Leave it there. I wish you could split the screen. Go to Mark 10:37. Matthew. Matthew, not Max. Beg your pardon. Listen, look at this. He who does what? No, don't read it too fast. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Look at me. There's anything you love more than Christ here today. When he passes, he will skip you. He said, you are not worthy of me. I've taught you a lot of things, but only a few people have I sat to instruct in this way. But he said, it's time to instruct the general. And he who loves his son or daughter more than me. Wife is here. It's written inside the lines. It's not worthy of me. So you should be able to look at your mother. Say, I love Christ more than I love you. If you have difficulty with saying that and being true, maybe there's an issue. Go ahead. Pray. Close your eyes. Pray.
Open up the gates, O lover, come true.
In Jesus' precious name. Look at me. Today you are about to be baptized into something. Not recover from it. So some people are looking at you like, can this be correct? You love anybody more than Christ, you are not worthy of his glory. It's a son. And Abraham had, God said to Abraham, he said, you know what? I am your reward. What? Genesis 15. Fear not, Abraham. I am your reward. So people will be inheriting things. Abraham will come and inherit God. But Abraham received that. He says, how many of you know it now? Genesis 15. I am your exceeding great reward, me. So Abraham believed God for almost 25 years. For a son. And when the son came, Abraham was, oh my God, finally I have a son, the child of promise. And God had already said, I am your reward by covenant. But he has to be worthy of God. So God told him, carry that your son, go and kill him for me as worship. You don't understand. That son you've not had for 100 years of your life. See him very cute, adorable, like the Americans will say. Beautiful child is running around. He calls you daddy. He asks you all manner of questions that makes you laugh. After you have a very stressful day, you like to sit down and hang out with him and play around. And then the voice of God comes. He didn't even say cast him away. He said, you use your hand, kill him on the altar for me. And Abraham heard that instruction. And he took the boy he loved and said, I'm killing you today. And he told they traveled for 3 days. God made it difficult so that he had enough time to change his mind. And after they traveled, he said, wait here now. We'll go to Mount Moriah. Let's go and worship. And he had the secret in his heart. He said, I will trust God and betray you. I will trust God and betray you. So I'm not telling you I'm taking you to your death. I'm not telling you come with me so I can kill you. It's my secret between me and God. Can you keep secrets between you and God? And so the lad followed him. And he was following him to his death. And Abraham is saying in his heart, I'm about to kill him. But he doesn't know. But I love the Lord, so I'm doing his instruction. It doesn't mean I hate you, but now I have to make a choice. And he took him up to Mount Moriah and set the altar. And the boy was inquisitive.
That attitude that made Abraham fond of him is intelligence. He said, we have everything ready. Where is the lamb now? And Abraham is like, oh boy, it's you. But he still didn't make it known. Because it was happening between him and somebody he was devoted to. And the Bible says he took the lad. And the boy was, what's going on? He may not answer him. I have a devotion. I have a commitment. And he tied the boy, and God looked at it, and even God's heart caught. He said, don't slay him. That's enough. That day he became worthy of the promises. That was the day he became worthy of everything God told him. And he said, truly, I know that you fear me. I swear by myself today. That was how much impact he had in the heart of God. That God had to take a note. He said, by myself. Scripture said there was nobody higher again. Because if there was Jerusalem and it was higher than the throne of God, Elohim would have sworn by Jerusalem. And if there be any gods or any deity that was higher than him, he would have said, I take oath to this. And I swore. He said, since there is no higher than me, by myself I'm swearing today. Will you be worthy? That altar, that mountain that day was a table of settlement. Choose this day. Abraham said, I choose you 1,000 times again. So I open up my heart, all love coming true. That day Abraham made the choice. Kate kete kete bakataya, lepe kesi kata paradox, lebre teke ne me buradaskido boranta pere, brene meni katia de deketi dremenus apradia, bobo titi kete babaraya.
This is fragrance, Lord, the fragrance of my heart. This is music, Lord, music of my love. Oh, city or something. You want to leave? Or maybe you should just sit down. There's something. When you go to a place of communion like this, it's not religion. Imagine you come to see me and then you prepare your speech. And you just come. Hello, sir. How are you? How's everything? I hope you're fine. Da 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 da. Thank you. I'll just be looking at you with corner eye. But when you go into that place, you realize it's a person you are going to talk with. The only difference between you and this, your lover, is that it's not physical being. It's not, you won't be seeing him. That's why you train your senses to relate. You do what? You didn't get that part. Let me say it again. That's why you train your senses to relate. The Bible says, if you look at a young child, he can receive love, but he can't give it. He doesn't understand the concept of sharing, sacrifice. You take from him, he cries, but he wants yours. Because he's a child. When you train your senses, you can discern when he walks into the room and when he puts his hand on your shoulder. You can discern when he is not pleased and when he is pleased with what you have just done. His joy becomes your joy and his grief becomes your grief. It's not like you are forcing it. Inside your mood changes because the one you are in touch with, his mood also changed. But if you don't know, if you have not been that frequent with him, he won't show you all those signs. Something happened with Moses. You think it was a political question or religious question Moses asked? Moses had divided the Red Sea and commanded plagues in America. That's what Egypt was like. It was like a leading power. Everything he did appeared in their social media. You didn't remember that the Amalekites said it when they say, these are the people that terrorized Egypt. Their TikTok carried it. It was on everybody's WhatsApp status. Or cylinder status. Because they were writing on cylinders. So that's the kind of sign he commanded. They said that the man Moses was greatly feared in Egypt. So if Moses comes, everybody is cowering. So he already had an established status. As if he is not the kind of general that wars with sword. If your army makes him very angry, he'll just open the earth. If it's in contemporary that they call him a warlock. A warlock is an intersection between a warrior and a wizard. Oh my God. So if he forks things to come and war for him, he's coming, you see dragons flying at his back. Only him. So they will be afraid of him. Say, I just leave that man. They will just submit their kingdoms. But he was not a warlock. He was a prophet. He was what? I like the sound of that. He was a prophet. He commanded signs. You don't know what. All the elite forces, the naval forces in the United States, he buried all of them. One nation with global status, their entire military force went down. One man with his rod. Is he to be feared? You want to take him lightly? You don't know what Moses was like in those days. He was fearful. They disputed with him the other day. He told them, I'm not taking anything from them. If I'm a man of God, these people would not die a natural death. But to show you that I'm not like everyone, God will do a new thing. He will do what? He called it a new thing because they were about to see what eyes have not seen. He said, oh, not only will these people perish, but the earth will open up, swallow them and close. Their graves don't exist. And everybody knew with the knowledge then
that Moses killed Korah. So he's walking with his rope. You know, he killed some folks last Tuesday. But then he stood in the glory of God, and all those things were dung to him. You know what dung is? When Paul said everything, dung is faces, right? Everything said to God. He says, show me your glory. That glory he was saying is not so that he could do signs again. You, your glory, you're asking so that there can be signs. He had passed science, advanced science exam, master science exam for advanced professors. You don't agree? Bread came. You don't understand. We are just here and then meat pie falls from heaven. Everybody's eating. You don't know the kind of man you were dealing with. So the glory he was looking for was not for science. It was to know God. And God got the message. Nicodemus said to him, he said, you are a teacher come from God, because nobody can do these signs except God be with him. Jesus looked at his heart and said, except the man is born again. So when he said, show me thy glory, God told him, you can't see my face. He knew where he was going. You didn't understand that thing I just said. God helped him, corrected his speech. Say, this glory you are looking for is not the one that they are signs. You want to know me. Imagine you are lying down. Somebody walks into your room. You see his waist down. Trust me, you see him in the streets tomorrow. Will you know him? Will you know him? So until you see a face of a person, you don't know the person. Because you know her, you won't recognize him. You say, I know his leg, but you go and everybody's wearing shoes. And I'm like, take off. You can't do that. Idiot is laughing. So how do you know him? I know him by his feet. And he does feet transplant. And you can't know him again. Show me your face. And he was like, you can't see my face. You see, the face of God is the identity of... Oh, how do I describe this? A man that loves God, and you can see the objective of the entire law. After Moses had conquered everything, his dying speech, Deuteronomy 8, you will see the summation of his ministry. You know, this epistle doesn't look like what Moses would teach from the beginning, because he was a very general. Have you found it? Deuteronomy chapter 8, that's him. He was about to die. And he was giving them his last speech. He called the nation together to give them his speech, because the word of the Lord had killed him. What? Yeah, he was indeed a prophet. He ended by saying, you will now go on. Every commandment which I command you to your today, you must be careful. Go to verse 2. Go on. Go, keep going. This chapter 8, keep going. Keep going. Just keep going. Is this his speech? This is his speech. This is his speech. Keep going. Just keep going. I want them to just be having snapshots of the verse. Keep going. Okay, go to chapter 6. Are you in chapter 10 already? I want you to hear the last messages of Moses. See the Shema prayer there.
I'm looking for a particular portion of scripture. What more does the Lord your God desire that you should love him? Now it's 10. Are you in 10 now? Go all the way to 12. What I'm looking for is in 12 now. Skip to 12. This, you won't believe it's Moses that will preach this. My God. I said 12. Chapter 10, verse 12. You are in the right chapter. You are still back at 15. You have a covenant with 15. Now, Israel, what does the Lord require but to fear the Lord and to love him? That is what Moses discovered at the end. That this fearful, thunder-speaking God on Mount Sinai, deep down in his heart, just needs you to love him. If you go on, these are my terrains by God. You will see love everywhere. This is where he told them, he said, love the Lord with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul. It's in Deuteronomy he taught them. So look at me. That place where your heart awakens, it exists. What did I say? It's not everywhere. There's that moment where you just plug into love. Some persons come into the faith, their heart begins like that. Glory. But some persons walk for a while and then their heart begins to pant after God. And then they discover affection for God. Genuine love. And that's the presence mysteries. The what? The gist of the presence are just two lovers hanging out. And it's, tell me your secret, I tell you my secret. Some don't know this zone. They are employees of God. There is business talk. Makashakataya. The work of the church shall flourish. It will flourish, definitely. When you know about love, say, that's for weak believers. That's not what we are looking at here. That day you will dance with Jesus. You will do what? They have not seen him like that before. You will lock hands like this and walk with Christ. You do what? That day your Christianity will just jump from being religion to just be your life generally. You wake up and see the presence of God upon you. Say, what's going on? Serious. And you just be awake like that. And it's not, you are just, you wake up and meet the presence looking at you. Have you seen movie scenes where the wife turns and meets the husband sitting up? Say, what's the problem? You wake up and meet him sitting up. That's where you will carry glory by default. You do what? There is a place God likes to dwell. This is a man after my heart. For David, God placed his affection above his perfection. Say it again. His affection above his perfection. For God, what covered God's face was his affection. So much so that even the imperfection of David, he could just keep forgiving it. so that David tested the graces of Christ to come, so that his documents are the epistles of Christ's revelation of righteousness. He said, therefore, the psalmist says, blessed is the man that God does not impute his iniquities. Because David said, I have sinned, I killed a man, I committed all the in one project. He committed all of them in one project. Murder and all, lying, deceit, betrayal, he did in one project. And God says, as bad as that thing is, my son will come from you. If you, I'm talking about people that are passionate. They fast for, listen, they fast for Christ. You know why they fast? So that I can, you know, when you fast, you generate spice, fragrance come, so that when I worship you in fasting, you enjoy it the more. The last time I worshiped in fasting, you liked it a lot. Let me see how you will like it when I do it for 3 days without food. You like the fasting thing, right? So let's be doing it now. So you say, oh, so we'll be doing it frequently now. You are talking with him.
Open up my heart, oh Lord, coming true.
Open up my heart, oh Lord, coming true.
Hey, many of you will live here with, you see, when you look at this, they will still do it again. The what? They dance. When you, is David saw the love, the messianic love? Give me Psalm 45. David was composing a poem for God. You know, in the days of no social media, there were books they used to sell that had text message. See the people that did it? They are the ones laughing the most. Some people, I'm not in that category. Alright? So some people used to buy the book. You're laughing too much. It's as if you are a receiver of those messages. Okay. They are revealing themselves. And they will sit down. Since they can't compose. So they will go and that before AI generated poem. Now AI is helping everybody now. And they will sit down. Before you know, you just say pep pep. The only bad thing is that, you see, maybe somebody has sent it to them before. Maybe you're laughing too much. Set to the lilies. That's the melody of this hymn, of this love song. A contemplation of the sons of Korah. A what? This love song is not the only people that have it. You will sing many of it in the kingdom. A what? A song of what? My heart is overflowing with a good thing. I recite my composition. See, you know, he's learning it. He wrote it at first, so he's memorizing it. It's like that man, he wants to go and meet his fiancée and how to tell her. So he's trying to say, you know, you are the this of the that, but he wrote it somewhere, so he's memorizing it so that he doesn't exchange it and say upside down. Why is it hitting only one person? So look at it. He said, I recite my composition. He wrote the love song. So, but he wants to recite it and memorize it so that when he gets into the tabernacle and is before the Ark of the Covenant, he won't have to be saying,
you know, you are the love of my life.
he has memorized it. So he comes and says, you are the love of my... It's not you. Let me face up my...
And let me face the pulpit. And he said, you are the love of my life, you are the this, you are the that, you are the that. But if you stop him, you have to start from the first, from the beginning, because he crammed it. You know, that's the way cramming works now. He said, wait, let me finish. Alright, I recite my composition. He said, my tongue is the pen of a ready writer. He said, every time I open my mouth, the hymns start flowing, the love things just start rolling out. Then he starts the composition. He said, you are fairer than the sons of men. Oh my God. He said, grace is poured on your lips. Grace is kana. It means beauty. It means perfection. It means elegance. He said, the way I look at your lips, as if they use grace to wash it. Then he invoked the name of his God. He said, Elohim has blessed you forever. Move on. He said, guard your sword on your thigh. That means this lover is even a warrior. I mean, what do the people like more? It's not a fine man that can fight. It's not fighting in the street. I mean, he's brave. And that's why David was like that. They said, Saul has slain what? David did what? And he was a good-looking man that could slay Goliath. I mean, he just conquered everybody in Jerusalem that day. He was on everybody's status. Like what happened in Nigeria some time back. You know that event, right? Where they are, we now have one groom on multiple wedding shoots. You are not seeing it on the news. You are even prepared. I don't know what I'm saying. See that? You must know. Because one brave man withstood a fallen one. He said, guard your sword upon your thigh, Almighty One. Who is that person? With your glory and prosperity. He said, guard your sword on your thigh, O Most Holy One, and ride prosperously. Go back now. With your glory and your majesty. That is just the way he carries himself with his sword here. There's a way this person carries himself with his sword here. He said, with your sword on your thigh, with your glory and your majesty. There's a self-carriage. Are you seeing the theme, the recitation, the composition? Move on. In your majesty, this guy, right? This one he wrote in the night. In the what? His love song. And he was moving, people were sleeping, he was using lampstand. He was memorizing it.
I speak of the things concerning my king, your tongue.
That's what he was doing. And so now he's before the tabernacle now. He said, Elohim, wait, I brought something for you. He said, because of truth, humility, and righteousness, your right hand shall teach you all some things. He's saying that the guy is a genius. He's telling him that you don't read from books. When you carry your Bible, knowledge flows. And Elohim is just doing like this. He said, this one, I'm giving him something before he leaves my presence. Move. It's not even done yet. He said, your arrows are sharp in the heart. He said, when you go to the battlefield, you pull one arrow. This is that time. To them, this is exploits. In those times, if you do this, many are falling in affection. So he said, when you draw your sword, your bow, you bend your bow. By the time you release it, 1,000 are falling. So that when he's coming back from the battle, everybody's running to see him. And they're like, he did wondrously in this war. With one bow, he slew 1,000. And then they began to make melody. This is what the sons of Korah were preparing to sing to God. They didn't know it was in Psalms. Move on. And then he said, your throne, oh God. This guy is killed. One after the line upon line upon line. By the time he's done with Elohim, Elohim won't have any reason not to dash him some presents. He said, your throne, oh God, is forever and ever. The scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. He said, thou lovest, move. I like the comparison. You love righteousness and hate wickedness. Then this is where it's more beautiful. Therefore, your God,
has anointed you with the oil of gladness more than your companions. So there he put a mark. He said, you are not like these other guys. You are different. He's telling Jesus this kind. You think Jesus will not come back? If not, you will go. What is this? All your garment. He now moves to the perfume area. He said, all your garments are scented with myrrh and aloes and cassia out of the ivory palaces. He makes mention of the complex. He said, this is your apartment. Ivory is a very expensive material. He said, your palaces contain ivory by which they have made you glad. Move on now. King's daughters, not just anyhow people serve in your court. That is kingdoms, kingdoms, kingdoms. You don't get the story. Let me make it clear. Kings, we just send their daughters. Go and serve in his palace. Princesses are your servants. That's what he's saying. King's daughters are among your armory. At your right hand stands the queen of Alpha in gold. Nobody can recover from these lies. Less is okay. No, it has not finished. If I catch you using this scripture for anybody, it's me and Jesus that will appear in your dream.
The revelation of Christ.
All of this is to pull you into that stream, that there is a realm like this that exists. Jesus and his lovers. The revelation of Christ. Listen now. Are you together with me? I am. Now pay attention. I'm teaching you now. As many, Father, we thank you for today. Thank you for your grace. Be magnified. Be glorified. Thank you, mighty God. In our insight into God, and anybody who has heard our doctrine, our what? When Jesus sends a person, he gives him a doctrine. The word doctrine is not a set of rules. Doctrine is from the Greek word didache. It means a teaching. Jesus himself said to the Pharisees, my doctrine is not of me, but of the one that sent me. So there is a doctrine Jesus came with. If you listen to our doctrine from the point of the inception of this network, one thing remains constant, that there will come a generation of people, a spiritual race, that the entirety of their life draws from Jesus. That is, they have zero life outside of him. That has been the bed for, if you hear and you know anything except this, then you don't know the foundation of the message we are preaching, or we are teaching, or we have been proclaiming. They have zero life. None. And to make you see that, let me juxtapose a little bit. There is that realm of being a Christian, and you are following God. I mean, you go to church, you don't tell lies. When the worship comes on, you lift up your hands, you worship and you pray, right? And then, but you have to live life. So you have your plans. And you're like, oh Lord, this is what I want to do. You call people. I need a job. I need an opening. And they're like, this opening. And I'm like, oh God, I have this opening. I say, Lord, pray. You now pray fast. And you press God, press him. And he say, okay, get the job. Go and do it. I say, Father, God is so good to me. It's where you press and press. Oh, yeah, go now. The point is, you are a good guy, you're a good person, and your life is just moving. You are serving God, and you have your plans, and you do the will of God just like that. And as long as it doesn't too much cut across your own, but you are honest, you are genuine. You will leave your 70, you are 80, you are 90, 96, and then your hour comes. You go to heaven. You won't go to hell. But there's a realm you will never smell on earth. And because you didn't touch that realm on earth, it will show in the end. You think everybody, listen, there's rank in the world to come.
Wait.
Let the new creation come. You see that some of you will serve inside some Apostle Paul's kingdom. Because that one is a ruler. You don't know. These are the men of the next. There are people that will matter in the next civilization. If you want to matter, it's here you'll be doing it too. You like relevance, then sacrifice this one. Paul had nothing. When the book of Acts finished, he was living in a rented house as a prisoner.
But watch his entourage several few hundred years from now.
When you live that kind of life, in the end it will show.
There.
You may even be one of the biggest people on earth with fleet of cars, with mansions. You have four houses in Dubai on one street, and they have linear gates, and they put suspended bridge so you can from this room enter the next room, and they will extend the bridge across the road.
Yeah.
With air rights, the rights to build suspended bridge over highway. You have the influence to ensure that the government approves it. In the US, there are people that put swimming pool on story building, and this swimming pool is suspended. Have you seen that kind of thing? And there is glass. Me. And you are swimming, you see cars 180 kilometers per hour passing under you. Me. I won't even be looking at it. Let alone swim on it. Because that grass is dense. It's not drowning that will kill you, that will kill the person. It's downing. What? You will live with those. If you walk into a place, into an office in Busetu, everybody stands up. Like, who is this? Is it that person?
Then the person is 90. He's 90. He passes on. They declare public holiday. Now enter eternity. You now bring Keke to carry him to the judgment throne. Or they didn't even send the just left map on the table for him. Say, find your way to the tabernacle. You see other people's clothes. You know, they say the white linen are the righteous acts. So there are works that will give you rank. You know, your level in the army, something will be on your. So there are appearances you will know. That's it. I don't know. I went China white.
Right? Sade is coming to heaven to come and see me like this. And then the Sade you overlooked that was serving God, when they come, maybe they don't want to teach humility. That was it.
You assigned to her.
And the point about that is, you remember everything here. Then you'll be like, oh, what a fool I was. At that time, see your mansion.
You know your mansion.
The war that Michael will fight, it, they have dropped milestone, have scattered everything. A fool I was. And then you see that man, you laughed at his shoe. So these Christians, they'll just be preaching. See him, like Kenneth Copeland. He slimmed his trousers until the two pockets met at the back. As he was losing weight because of suffering, the wife was killed in Tellory, so she kept slimming it.
So the two pockets agreed.
You see that man, you laughed at his shoes that was always preaching in the streets.
You see his new class. You'll not be like, you know, you can't come back again. That's what Paul said. Every man's work will be tried with fire. You will not be sent to hell, but it will show you your life.
But you see, anyone that his work is consumed, he will be preserved. His work, if he built with chaff and straw, his work will be destroyed, but he himself will be preserved. Of course, you can have it both ways. You can be relevant here and relevant there.
So was Abraham.
This man sets the standard. So you can live your life like that, and you are just carrying God along. God is just looking at you. And at some point, he's just there guiding you so that you will not miss it. But there are other group of people, zero. They can't. Jesus is their center. They have taken their life like a lamb and laid it on the altar. He says, see me, do whatever. You see, I have just one lifetime. And you'll be saying, I'm 25 years now. The most I have is about 70 years. Then I'll be 95. See these 70 years, right? Take. I don't need it. Do whatever you want. And Jesus will be like, oh, really? Okay. All right. And then he will take it and do what he wants. Because he is in heaven, but he has to be revealed on earth for this assignment to be completed in the earth. That's why he still lingers. That's why eternity still lingers. Paul talks about hastening the coming of the Lord. I once told us that time doesn't necessarily change things. It's what people do in time. Your life will not change. You say, okay, maybe only 5 years things will get better. You sit down and you are not doing anything for it. 5 years will come and go. Your life will be like that because you are not doing anything. Time doesn't, it adds decay. It does what? Yes. This creation decays with time.
Check your body. Look at it. Snap it.
Come back 50 years. Look at it.
It's a wrinkled.
See that structure? You know where the street you grew. Go back and see those houses. If they're still, those houses you celebrated. If you still like them again. So that's the foundation of our doctrine. Zero life out of Christ, outside of him. You can't do nothing. See this life. It belongs to Jesus. That's what it is. And nobody can change it. Nobody has a say. Put up that same 10:37. If a man does not love his father or his mother or his daughter or his son more than me, it's not worthy of me. If he doesn't love me more than them, if he dares to love them more than me, it's not worthy of me. That means he will even hear what they are saying, for as long as he clashes with what I've told him. I heard a man say that he would rather sink with God than to be sailing with men. David was even more brutal. David said, let me be a megad in your presence than to be dwelling in tabernacles with men. That's, he put it like this, I'd rather be a gatekeeper in the courts of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. Wickedness is what deviates from God. So see me, I'll be a megad in the presence rather than be the governor of a state in Sweden. But most people, some persons, because for some, this Matthew now, for some reason or the other, they would rather dwell in the tents rather than be a gatekeeper.
10:37. See it?
So look at this. Jesus said, if a man loves me, he will keep my commandments. He will obey me. Obedience is one proof of affection. So if he loves his father more than God, he will obey his father more than he's obeying God. If he loves his mother more than God, he will obey his mother more than he wants to obey God, because he would rather offend God and please men rather than please men and offend God. Do you get it? He will rather offend God and please men rather than please God to offend men. So this group of people have come to these gates and made a say, I've taken an oath with my heart that I have devoted my life to you. I don't have it again. Take. It's like that friend of yours that has a car and gives the car to you. Say, take it. I say, really? Say, yes, take it. I don't want it again. And then you go to the car mod, where they call car mods, and you change the color, you add some things behind, you change the wheel, you beef up the engine, you change the interior, and the guy is not bothered because he's not, he has given you whatever you like, and you drive it to Calabar, you drive it all the way to Jos, you bring it back, take it to Kaduna, he doesn't care. If he calls you and say, but why are you doing it? Say, you don't give me. If somebody gives you something and he's putting eye on how you are using it, you just say, come and take your thing back. Some of you, he gifted you something and he's monitoring the gift. Say, if it's that kind of thing, please come and carry your thing. That's what some of us do to Christ. Huh? Which kind of structure? Where they carry my life? They go. If zero, everything. And Jesus said, you give it to me, right? He said, yes. And really, he puts you to the test. And you have a will, he has a will. He do my own, and you do his own. He tests you again, you do his own. He does it a couple of times. We have done this one. We have done what? This one is ours. And then all the things you think that it was glory, he was not telling you, say, oh, those things are actually holograms. The real glory I'm about to show you now. I taught us about the straw zone. The what? Do you remember last time? Well, after everything, there you look back, it's like straw. This is the thing. This thing I'm saying is the revelation. It's what we found in that revelation. This forms the one of the primary articles of the document that Jesus Christ has released into this generation. Until you meet this demand, you'll be a child of God in church, but you see that you are different from a party. That's why I say there is a race, a generation, a breed. You find out that you are in church, you are in a group of people, but something about you is different. You will know their depth is different. Their presence is so, you're like, hey, why are they doing it? It's a heart gap. It's what? There's something they call a digital gap. Eh? Mental gap, age gap, it's a heart gap. They've taken a leap from where they have their life to where they don't have it again. But you are still holding on to your life, so there's now a gap. So no matter how, when you come to presence, when you worship, you reach where the heart divides you. You can't go past it. And they are gone. Many of you here, there's a stubbornness in the mind of man that doesn't want to let go. And Christ will not struggle. Because if you force a horse to drink to the water place, you know there's a quote that says you can force it. Right? So you force it to that water place, you will still force it to drink the water. So your war has not even started. You forced it, you thought you were tired. Say, now we have arrived at the water place. That is where the war starts. Because how will you open the mouth? And if you will force him to go up it, and he puts it back at you. So he won't come and fight with you. He will just walk with you around the level of your yieldedness. Around what? The boundary of your yieldedness. He will operate with you within that perimeter and bypass you to somebody who is of a spirit. This is foundation. You will,
my God.
Kata shaterebetes kebradias.
Maybe, if it's not.
This is what is this one of the things he said to teach this generation.
How many of you have heard me always say this? I teach this
every. This underscores, even if I don't say it in line, you still find the spirit of this utterance.
Now let me ask you, are you at that place?
You will know if where you are now, Jesus is away. I'm not meaning your prayer, where you are in life. The choices you have made, the decisions you are making, the things you are doing right now. Can you consciously say, it's me and Jesus that walked to this point too? Listen, when I sing, this is fragrance, Lord, the fragrance of, don't think that fragrance, we went to buy it in the market. No, it's your sacrifices for the Lord that is fragrance. Some persons can sing it and he's not even sniffing nothing. Same fragrance. Spices are gotten through crushing. So these spices come because you have dealt with me and have broken me. So the oil came out. So this is oil. How do they make oil?
You go and ask the people. The thing that produces the oil, when you see his face after they've dealt with it, have you seen the granite?
The eye is like this. They have squeezed.
See, you, anointing must come out of you.
Your natural appearance may be looking like that. The pear that they, but the oil that will come out of it. You must come to this point.
This is the first, one of the first articles of this generation. You must meet this demand. See there.
Truth.
See, that your husband to be, you must love God more than you love him. And he must know. And he must be comfortable with it. See, I will displease you 1 billion times to please him half times.
Yeah.
That your, right? you must love. He's innocent. don't think I'm talking to him indirectly. It's for everybody. But my attention, before you be like, Apostle. You know, some people can't say the way they were talking to Apostle. I'm thinking it's very clear now. You'll be in the wrong zone.
Or your wife to be, your lady to be, they must be comfortable with it. Anybody that is not comfortable with your devotion to God, don't try to manage it. They don't deserve you. If someone says, I love you, if someone is loving you more than God, it's the person to be afraid of. It's not good for you. Say, it's not good for me. Tell him, say, you can't love me. It's not good. It's not a very healthy thing. Because when Jesus appears, it's you.
It's funny, Abby.
I the Lord that may what? You don't want to call it. I the Lord whose name is Jealousy, right?
Sorry.
I the Lord am a jealous God. You shall have no other God. Because anything you love, God is a what? It's a God, right? Anything you love more than God is not a God too. You didn't see that. Anything you love more than Christ,
is that God status?
Because things can't be pitted against each other unless they are in the same category. You can't ask this man who is a lawyer and this one is an engineer who is smarter. You have to look for another lawyer and compare them. So the thing you now love more than God, you say more than, it's not a comparative thing. That means they are in the same categories. Ah, congratulations, you have a God. Maybe that will be down low him because he's below. Lift your hands. Lift your hands. Say,
the word of the Lord has become my meat. Your presence, O God, has become my drink.
Sing it to him.
The word of the Lord has become my meat. Your presence, O God, has become my drink. Sing to him. The word of the Lord has become my meat. Your presence, O God, has become my drink. Sing to him, sing to him. Yes, yes, yes. Sing to him, sing to him.
God of the Lord has become a meat.
The Lord.
The presence of God has become a dream.
I can see you. Oh, I can see your flame.
I can see your flame. I can see your flames.
Yeah, I can hear you. Oh, I can see your flames. I can feel you. Word of the Lord has become.
Listen, you come, look, you like, you love him to the point that you now become like Job that says, I have exalted his word above my food. That is, if he has not read the word of God, he can't eat food. And if he has not drank from presence, he can't drink water. That's what the song is saying. That the word of God has now become my meat. His presence is now my drink. You know, they say it's good when you wake up in the morning, you drink water. He's saying, no, before I drink that water, let me drink presence.
I can see your face. I can feel you.
I can see your face.
Ellie, in this November, the word of God came to me clearly as a revelation of Christ. And that's what I want to teach us or reveal to us in the moments that we have left. Go to Revelation chapter 1. Let's start from there. Revelation chapter 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which he gave him to show his servants things which must shortly take place, and he sent and signified it by his angel to his servant John. Go on. Who bore witness the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ to all things that he saw. Go on. Blessed is he who reads this, reads, and those who hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near. Go on. John, to the seven churches who are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne. Go on. And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Go on. And has made us kings and priests to his God and to his Father, and to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he is coming with clouds, and every eye will see him,
Even they who pierced him and all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. Even so, amen. Now look at this. When God appeared to Moses, what did he say his name is? What? I am that I am. Right? Haya, Eshe, Haya. That's it in Hebrew. I am. So look at Jesus. I am. What Haya? That's the word. In Hebrew. Let's leave that. Let's do I am a little bit. When God appeared to Moses, and Moses asked him, what is your name? He said, Haya, Eshe, Haya. That is, I am that I am. In the beginning, when darkness was upon the face of the earth, you know, the Bible says, God said, what did he say? He said something in the beginning when the Spirit moved on the waters. What did he say? Lord, come on. Say it again. What he said was, Ore Haya. It means light, be. That is, become. And we don't know where it is becoming from. It's an open-ended realm where you command. That's what Paul said meant when he said, calling those things that be not as what? So he said, become. So when he said his name was Haya, in Exodus chapter 6, he now told him, this name I want to tell you. Abraham doesn't know it. He now said, Yehovah. The root word comes from Haya. Self-existing. You don't understand it. So Jesus comes and says, Haya Alpha. And so that I am is an open-ended statement. The statement doesn't finish. So today he can be, I am gold, not the earthly gold, that is treasure. And tomorrow he can say, I am your source. Don't put full stop on that comment. Put ellipses. you didn't see it. I am is not a word with a full stop. It's a word with ellipses. That period where you will need defense, you will, I am your defense. So Jesus came in the end to continue to tell us what the ellipses says. You know what an ellipses are? Those three dots that indicate that the statement has not finished. I am what? The Alpha. The Omega. We will not talk about this. But Alpha is A. Omega is Z. Alpha is in Greek alphabet. The way we have the English alphabet. A, B, C, D. In the Greek alphabet, the first letter you encounter is Alpha. And if you do physics, linear expansivity, you would already know how to write Alpha. It's like this. Right? You do angular velocity, you can write Omega. It's like W. It's not saying I'm alphabets now. Says, and then he says what? The beginning. So, we are extracting that revelation, I am the beginning. So I'm bringing to you the word of God that is captioned, I am the beginning. Oh. Yeah. When stretch a little bit, I see that something that has been in presence in fresh. You know, there's a concept of beginning. When did this meeting start? 11:30, 45, something, right? When is the church service starting? 7 a.m. When did you start school? 2012. When did you graduate from university? 2011. That's not me. Your concept of beginning is a time. Jesus came to tell you that the beginning is a person. This is no joke. This is what? This is no joke.
This is a strong revelation that the apostles that walked with the Lamb and saw him in their visions knew that time, the beginning is not a time. That the beginning is actually a person. Put up Colossians chapter 1 verse 18 or 17. Be fast.
Don't worry, we'll soon wrap up. Verse 17, I said first. 16. Now, look, read everybody. This is not John. You know, Revelations are written by John. This is Paul talking now. This thing Paul is saying is not something you just find somewhere. This is his revelation. The epistles of the apostles contain their original revelation. They are what? Out of the encounters with the word of God. For by him all things were created. He's talking about Jesus. That are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. So see, look at me. That principality that is disturbing you from wherever, it was Jesus that created it from the beginning before it fell. That thing is still under the hand of its creator. The puppet cannot rise against the puppeteer. Whether there be thrones, principalities, powers, they were all Jesus created. All things were created through him and for him. Go on. And he is what? And in him does what? Go on. He is the head of what? The what? And then what? Paul knew that too. He didn't attend Apostle Paul John's prophetic conference. They were having two other kinds of ministry because Paul was always in the Gentile world. John crisscrossed Jerusalem and the churches around the Judean terrains. So he's in Arabia and he's in Ephesus, he's in Philippi, he's in Corinth, and he is there writing that the Christ is the beginning. So when Jesus came in Revelations 1 and he said, what I want to tell you, send it to all the churches. He said, also add that I am the beginning.
1 John 1:1.
Don't worry. We are trying to push you into the realm. Yes. 1 John 1:1. Victor, you're tired. This is a stretch sense. No, you won't have it again in December. That's why it stretches. It's not every Saturday.
That what? That what?
This is the same person. Listen, take it back to Revelation 1:8 now.
I am the beginning.
This is what it means. Look at this prophecy.
There is coming a beginning that is about to commence in people's lives. That beginning is like something is about to start in your life. It's not a time in your life. It's a source that comes into your life. I've told you that my own beginning is 2017. That's where I can trace my beginning from. Why I'm standing here is from what started then. Where I'll be in the next 20 years. I told you about the struggle. There is a definite encounter you will have that will mark your life in where it should start from. Nothing behind that year determines where I am now. In 2019, November 8th, I was in a place of worship, and I worshiped so deep, and then I saw in my spirit that there's going to be the opening of books, and there'll be prophetic testaments, prophetic books, and I was seeing scrolls. When I dived in deeper in December of 2019, I found that the age that there will be what? The manifestation of what? The kingdom of God. That was 2019 December. If you ask me in January of 2020, I didn't know if there's anything like kingdom global. I didn't know that. It was in progression until August. Even a few hours to that moment. He said, so there will now be a global network of the kingdom on earth. I say, okay. That's where you come in. So what I'm doing now is not my vision. Why you are here is not my vision. What I'm saying is not that I went and read too much. They didn't show me, I won't know it. So what will you see? What will you see of the man standing before you? How will he take glory for it? The year it started when I saw the insight into Christ, and I said, what is this? That's my beginning. It's why I'm here. It's why I have all the everything that will come after it. It started from that little nobody seeing you hidden place you sat down. It was an obscure encounter, but the world shaked the globe. That's the beginning. I am the beginning. Where you are today, where did it start? It started when you were born. Everybody can be born. Your own started when you graduated. Oh, really? Where did your own start? You are a businessman. Okay, good. You are good. But where did it come from? I have this more sure word of prophecy and hope. That it started from the one who is the beginning. It's not a time. That's why they are trying to find the age of the universe. Tell them that the Ancient of Days is the beginning. And they don't have mathematical numbers in their earthly mathematical system to capture the magnitude of the quantity. Are you tired? Your life must now have a beginning in Him. Not a beginning in your course of study or a beginning in your birth. It must now have a beginning in Him. My own beginning, I started from Him. It really started from Him. If you come around me and live around me, you won't have to be told. You'll see my devotion. You will see my devotion. I was somewhere 3 days ago. I was just about to say, you look like a child of God. I'm standing in the supermarket. I'm trying to buy something. How can somebody look like there's a child of God standing? It's trousers and shirt I wore. It's not like the lady that is dressed for my sake. This one is a church one. Didn't wear the other things they used to wear. But this is what anybody can wear, is shirt and trouser. You will see the devotion. So he came and said, I am the beginning. There is a beginning that is about to commence in people's lives, people's paths, people's destinies. Because contrary to all expectation and indication, the revelation of scriptures decrees authoritatively that the concept and the idea and the revelation of beginning is not a point in time. It's a person. So look at me. You want to trace your life. You can't find your beginning in Christ. Not that you were born. It's time now, he's telling you. That's why he brought you through all this pathway of love. When it comes, you will some of your arrangements will scatter. He said, and the time will come, I will shake heaven and earth. The things that are earthly will scatter, the things that are heavenly will remain. The place you are, that heaven anointed will stand. The one that you anointed will be taken out of the way. And then he will be your beginning. All things will consist of him. Do you like that one? Say no. I am the beginning. You must agree with him. It's not like you will be a pastor, you'll be preaching. But your source, when you leave eternity, you leave earth into eternity. When you pass through the gates, when they start marking your life, they won't see any place where your life. Then when they start from A and end in the beginning, they won't see your other lives, because there was a point in time where Christ became this, the first thing. And as you were passing, the last you said, say, Lord, I give you praise. And then your breath went and you entered into the gates. So he became your Alpha
and the Omega. The time has come. Now listen, what is in the beginning? Spice.
Yeah, God is doing.
God, we acknowledge. You think he's using the keyboard for a couple of hours? That is his spice. He's not singing, but his incense is going up because he's feeling it. That's sacrifice. Sacrifice that meant what God to you. Do you want him to be your Alpha to your beginning? I can say before God that it will be true. That I tell him, why I'm here is because of you. Where I am now, it's not like I'm standing in space. Where I am mentally. So people are like, why don't you? I'm not even confused. I'm not even hasty, because I know I'm full. I'm where I am. This is where the pathway is now. If he's your beginning, he will be everything in between till the end. I am the beginning. That's what Jesus is. Doesn't matter when you were born. When he comes to you in that light, he will mark it. You know the way, if you carry a time zone, a timeline, you can put a bar here and put a bar here and mark it. It is where you start from. Maybe like I've gone, no. Moses found his beginning at age 8. Was fit to be a grandpa or even a great grandpa.
I saw that light. There is something God wants to put on people in this age. Leko shakata la barata gaske brada dada. I was just there and then he looked.
Maybe he did like this one.
And then he looked again. This one. I said, put him to the test. Let's see his heart. Those things that made you withdraw from God so that you can take your life more seriously were the things that were used to judge you. Maybe you failed one thing in school and it became a source of mockery, and the cloud heaven was like, watch now, let's see what he said to do. And they were all waiting, just like in heaven Satan stood there and they said, if job is serving you because you blessed him, take his life, take his health, and see, he will curse you to your face. I said, okay, let's try him. And in one day, Satan wrecked all the havoc in one day. And they all sat like this. And they were watching his action. And he stood up and said, "The Lord gives, the Lord takes. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Satan said, "Can I know now?" No. That the same way he did for you when the first thing happened. And he said, "No, no, no." Then he went back again and said, "Touch his life now. Touch his life. Make him have two carryover. And let it lead to an extra year. I'm telling you, this guy, I know him. I know him now. I know him. I know him. Touch his, let his mom be sick a little bit. And let her be in hospital. And just push him and just make things hard a little bit. Say, I know this guy." And when they pushed it, foolishly you withdrew. And I told you. But Paul said, "We are not of those that pull back unto perdition. Because if any man withdraw, then my soul shall have no pleasure in him." It's time for you to look at the devil in his eyes and tell him, "Bring it on." Say, "Bring it on. Bring it on. I dare you in the name of the Lord." The mistakes of your past. That's why he said, "It's going to come a fresh beginning that will come out of Christ. Christ will come to your life and don't just put a mark at a particular point. Anywhere he put a point in time is that time that is the beginning. It's not the time that determines if it will be the beginning. It's when Christ comes and stands at the mark. So I'm marking this date, 15 November 2025, for everyone and anyone whom the enemy has robbed. I'm marking this day today as a fresh start." Because he who is the head of the church, who is the beginning, oh my God, it's starting in your life. It's starting in your life.
Look at me.
complain. Look at me, everyone. Open your eyes. Look at what, hear what I want to hear what I want to say. Look at me. When I just chanted and I went deep, I saw it that it has been finished. They have settled the matter. They have nothing against you anymore.
Amen.
They have resolved it.
Amen.
They have sat down and completed it.
Amen.
What the enemy took before God against you to make a case. I just saw it now. That it has been completed.
Amen.
And the verdict of heaven declares that matter has finished. That case has been completed.
Amen.
For resolve.
Amen.
That issue that has been lingering. I take a debate about the case. Igatakatikeledea. I've been instructed and anointed to decree to you. That matter, you will not hear of it anymore.
Amen.
Look at me. For many of you, the devil has put something in your front. He said, this is the abomination that has been said to cause them to stumble. He has said things in your front so that you can stumble. And he's watching to see if you will stumble. You don't know this. He said it in your front to watch you stumble. But here is the fresh verdict that I'm hearing now. The fresh verdict that is being decreed now. That matter has been completed.
Amen.
So every last stumbling block before you, they are taking it off now.
Amen.
They are taking it off now.
Amen.
You know when they pass a decree in the law court, the judge will say, let the law enforcement confine this man to the prison. Or let the law enforcement discharge this man acquitted. When the judge issues a decree, then the law enforcement come to carry it out. I see a spirit clearing out the obstacle.
Amen.
I see a spirit clearing out the obstacle.
Amen.
I see a spirit clearing from your path the stumbling block.
Amen.
Hey! I see the wings of God. The case, what the enemy set before you that will make you stumble and fall. I'm seeing the handwork of the Lord and the spirits clearing it off.
Amen.
That's why they are saying that matter is over.
Amen.
Standing everywhere.
Come in your mind.
Listen. What's the end?
Come in your mind. Oh Lord, as we worship you. Come in your mind. We lift you high. Come in your glory, oh Lord, as we wait on you. Come in your beauty, oh Lord, as we raise your name. This is Zion, the place where you dwell, and this is your heart. of glory, King of glory, King of glory, King of glory.
Yes, I'm rising.
going high on me. Yes, I'm rising on you.
I recently you were with a business, an empire that your logo is a wing, and you sat right in front of it and it was looking at you. I think he has something, they wrote something, it's the spirit, something has something written on it that has spirit.
Rising on the eagle's wings.
Yes, I'm rising on the eagle's wings. Yes, I'm rising.
And so I'm rising.
Look at me.
Yes, I'm rising.
Really?
Yes, I'm rising.
Those things you sent to me, let me see them. Those things you sent to me, images.
Yes, I'm rising.
The new spirit of Africa with the wings on it.
Yes, I'm rising on you.
But your passport is over our minds.
Yes, I'm rising.
Look at this prophetic design. Can you see it? This is some place where he was over the week, last week. And the look of that company is the wing. The business tagline is the new spirit of Africa. And then I'm seeing him and I'm seeing it's time for the week. And maybe I said that, I remember in my mind just flashed to the images he sent me to see. Hi! Hey! 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 The new spirit of Africa. Men like nations, principal men, clothed with the wings, to be lifted above every circumstance, every hurdle. Let the presence draw near. Let the angels of coronation draw near. And let them fashion you again. Fashion you again. Fashion you again. Kate le tekete badagabish. It's the new spirit of Africa. Watch it. That was not the last of its kind. There will be many more. You will crisscross Africa. Watch it. You will crisscross Africa. You will crisscross it from Cape Town to Cairo along the horizontal axis.